Welcome back to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast. This episode is going to be a spoiler-filled review of Stranger Things Season 4, Volume 1, which is episodes 1 to 7. Coming up right after this. Welcome back. My name is Shah Shaheed. I am an entertainment writer, a film and TV critic, Bollywood blogger, and the host and producer of this here Split Screen Podcast. Today, like I mentioned, is going to be a spoiler review of Stranger Things Season 4. The Netflix original series just dropped this weekend. It's fourth season. It's penultimate season, as I believe Season 5 will be the last. So before we dive into the spoiler details of this season, or rather this volume, one of season four, you can check out my non-spoiler review, where I don't reveal any of the nitty-gritties, on my site, blankpagebeatdown.com. The link to that review will be in the show notes. So if you don't want to hear the details and me getting into all the spoilery stuff, check out that review on blankpagebeatdown.com first, and then come on back here, and then we can get into all those details, okay? All right, so season four. This is reportedly the second to last season before the entire series ends with season five. In so many ways, Stranger Things essentially kickstarted Netflix's original programming slate, right? It's a worldwide phenomenon. It's a massive success. It blends all these elements of, you know, 80s genre stories like E.T., like The Goonies, things that that generation grew up with. I say that generation as if I'm not part of that generation. I guess I'm more of a 90s kid, but, you know, 80s is when I was born, so I guess it sort of carries over. So Stranger Things took all those elements that we used to love from movies and stories in those days and combined them with like an original story with a lot of homages, a lot of tributes, a lot of throwbacks to that genre of storytelling and that genre of, you know, Spielberg movies and things like that. So with three seasons going, season four essentially reconnects us back to the Upside Down. The whole story is about, you know, it's like if you watch Buffy, it's about a town that's essentially like at a hellmouth. It's a town of Hawkins, a small town where a bunch of kids are, you know, love playing D&D, they're best friends. However, something happens and a weird little girl comes into their lives. She has powers, but also at the heels of her arrival is all these other things that are happening. A monster is loose. There's a gateway open to another dimension called the Upside Down. And that's really what most of the series focuses its story on. One of these friends gets goes missing, essentially goes into the Upside Down, gets kidnapped by one of these sort of monsters in season one. And throughout season one and three, we keep going back to the Upside Down. It plays a huge part of the story. You know, this dimension that was, you know, the gateway to this dimension was essentially opened up by Eleven, the now world-famous sensation, Millie Bobby Brown. So a lot of seasons one and three do focus on different ways where we keep going back to the Upside Down and dealing with those things. Season one's big bad was this creature called the Demogorgon. Season two dealt more with the bigger bad of the Upside Down, essentially trying to take hold in the real world. The child who was abducted in season one, Will, Noah Schnapp, I believe is his name. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But season two is more about how the there's demo dogs on the loose and the mind flayer is attempting to make his way into the real world. And then season three is all about him actually coming into the real world, actually having a physical presence in our world, in our dimension, from the Upside Down, and how our group of characters try to stop that creature. One of the best things about Stranger Things is these kids. These kids became worldwide sensations after season one took off. They have been aging rapidly because they were super young when the series started. And the cool thing is that the story does evolve and grow with them as they are aging. Namely, the best part being Millie Bobby Brown's character, Eleven, because she is totally out of time, out of place. She is a kid who was raised in a lab and now is in the real world, and she's taking cues for about friendship, relationships, loyalty, dedication, love, and you know, all these other concepts from these kids, from these other boys, her friends. And a lot of season four, volume one, focuses on that element of being a normal kid and all the pressures that come with it, the pressures of being cool, of, you know, having a social circle beyond just the geeky friends you grew up with, being accepted, interest in the opposite sex. So many of these concepts are very prevalent in season four. And obviously, you've got another demon who's coming back. The best part about season four is that the story doesn't just deal with the Upside Down again, but we're dealing with the origins. A huge part of the origin of these creatures and these monsters that inhabit the Upside Down. And not just that, how that directly ties into Eleven's origins. As a child growing up in this program where kids are, you know, sort of recruited or born into or abducted from their parents, you know, because of their abilities, Eleven being one of them, how does that program begin? And again, unexpectedly, not that we knew that was going to be the story going in, but again, I've given you a spoiler warning. This is it. I'm going to start spoiling things. So if you haven't heard it, check out my review on blankpagebeatdown.com. Come on back and we'll continue. This volume, so for whatever reason, they split up the volumes into volume one, volume two of season four. Volume one is the first seven episodes. The seventh episode is like an hour and 40 minutes. And reportedly, episodes 8 and 9 will be volume two, launching July the 1st. And those will feature, apparently, an hour and 38 minutes will be episode 7. And the last episode is reportedly 2.5 hours long, which, wow. And honestly, even though a lot of the episodes of season four are a little bit bigger than what we're used to, I had zero complaints. The pacing, the subplots, none of it was filler, none of it was slow. Sometimes, usually, you can just move away from a subplot, you know, like you kind of don't care too much about it. That's when you would sort of like, you know, go get a snack or, you know, sort of half pay attention kind of thing. If it's a subplot that you're not too interested in or you don't care too much about. But I'm glad to say season four of Stranger Things, there's not one subplot that I felt I wasn't interested in or I wasn't engaged by. So I wouldn't say that the extra length is wasted in any way whatsoever. Even the last episode of this season, of rather volume one of this season, which is 1 hour 40 minutes long, it's riveting through and through. Like you're on the edge, you're sort of engaged. Like I was locked in completely. At no one point in time was I like, it's getting a little too long. You know, it's not like The Batman where you're like, hey, there's certain scenes you can take out of this and trim the fat a little bit. In my opinion, anyways, I didn't see anything like that in season four. Season four does begin very heartbreakingly, and it sort of continues. I would say this is, while there are definitely happy moments, there's jokey moments of this season, there's definitely a lot more sadness and sort of a lot of more melancholy than I think we're used to in a Stranger Things show, which has always sort of remained upbeat. Obviously, we haven't seen the last two episodes of this season yet, so maybe things do, you know, trend up by the end. But things are not good, guys, when we start off this season. Namely, you know, in season three, we saw Eleven had to move away with Joyce Byers, which is Winona Ryder, as well as Jonathan Byers and Will Byers, I think was Noah Schnapp. With Charlie Heaton, who plays Jonathan Byers. So basically, she was moving in with them. I guess Joyce kind of adopts her. And she's in California now with her and Will going to the same school. And oh my God, is it so sad. Like, Eleven is not adjusting. She is not having fun. She is sort of her lack of social cues that made her charming in Hawkins is making her an outcast here in California, which, you know, kind of expected possibly. She's you know, she's the weird girl. She, you know, she doesn't use contractions when she's talking. She's very stiff and somber, and she, you know, just lost her dad because last season we saw Hopper. We presumed Hopper died when the gateway to the Upside Down was closed. So she's lost her dad, lost her boyfriend, moved away from the only home she's ever known, and is in this new city with, I guess, new adoptive parent and siblings, and it sucks. It is like I was near tears all of episode 1 and 2, just because she is having such a hard time with where she is in her life. It's heartbreaking. It is so sad. And everyone is sort of in a similar space, it seems like. Jonathan is a stoner now, which sort of, I had a huge problem with that storyline. Like, Jonathan in the previous seasons really proved himself to be, you know, the underdog slacker, you know, sort of wasteoid character who does, you know, prove his worth. He does, you know, prove his uniqueness, and you end up really liking the guy. Whereas this season, he's just kind of relegated to, again, just being comic relief or just being the, you know, just like a waste of space kind of character. You know, he's like a stoner now. He's like a stoner buddy now who's purely comic relief. Argyle, who is awesome. So it's really, really, I didn't like that storyline at all with Jonathan. But Joyce has a job where she works from home. Will is trying his best to support Eleven to no avail. And then back in Hawkins, you've got Lucas, who's sort of on the basketball team now, so he's pursuing his efforts to be popular. Mike, Finn Wolfhard, and Dustin, Gaten Matarazzo, they're part of a new D&D club with other older students in the high school as their first year. So they're kind of doing their own thing. Steve's still working at the video shop with Robin. Joe Keery is Steve Harrington, and Robin is Maya Hawk. And so, I mean, for a lot of people, besides Eleven and everyone else, everyone's sort of in a bad spot. The breakout star of season 4 of Stranger Things to me, and she's not the breakout, she's been in the other seasons as well, from season 2 onwards, but Sadie Sink, Mad Max, is insane. A lot of the sadness from Hawkins comes from her. She is having a really rough go of life, given that in season 3, she saw her terrible asshole of a stepbrother, Billy, played by Doc Ray Montgomery, who was a dick throughout. He was essentially the representation of the big bad because he was the host for the Mind Flayer in season 3. Sacrificed himself to save her and Eleven and her friends and everything else in a brutal, graphic way. She's still reeling from that. She's still dealing with the fallout of that. And what I liked about this season is that her and Eleven get so much to play with. There's so much at play with their characterizations, with their performances. It's insane. To me, Sadie Sink, just her performance, you know, after she did took a little departure from Stranger Things and did that Fear Street trilogy, which was also amazing. She was also amazing in it. She definitely sort of carried over some chops from that. She's amazing. Like, it's mind-blowing how such young talent can be so good at representing trauma and these sort of incredibly deep performances that they're sort of carrying on their own as well. Like, keeping in mind that in Eleven's situation, she doesn't have the support of like an entire ensemble cast around her, at least for majority of this season. And even with Sadie Sink, as Max going through this trauma, she's, even though everyone's around her, no one's dealing with that sort of breadth of damage that she's experiencing. Instead, she's having to put up with people telling her to get over it or finding out what's wrong or trying to get her to open up. No one really truly understanding what she's going through. So in a way, she's also carrying her performance all on her own, and it's fucking spectacular. Coming back to the story of this season, essentially, same thing happens. Teens are dying in weird ways. There's a new big bad called Vecna. He is sort of not a mindless smoke monster or a unspeaking creature that talks to other people or a big blob of flesh that's, you know, in a big-ass mall. He is a thinking, intelligent, living, breathing, humanoid demon who is going around killing teenagers for whatever reason. And seemingly teenagers who have had a traumatic past. And what ends up happening is obviously Max is a target because of her traumatic past. And what you find out, and this is like the best part of the fucking season, guys. What you find out is that this demon, this Vecna creature, has direct connections to Eleven. And that is what I loved about this season. While the whole season has these vibes of adventure, action, crazy shit happening, character moments and you know, the team getting together, the team investigating the murders. Nancy essentially starts investigating these murders after one of her friends gets killed, and then one of the D&D guys gets you know, framed for killing this high school popular cheerleader character. And that's when, you know, you enter our guys, the Stranger Things crew, who want to help out this guy, and so they start investigating. They all sort of meet up. You know, Nancy, Steve, Robin, Will, Dustin, Lucas, Max, everyone sort of gets together. And then you realize that, holy shit, even Max is now a target for this creature, and he's sort of coming after her. So the crew in Hawkins is doing their own thing. Eleven's all by herself. And then you realize that she doesn't obviously have her powers. Mike goes to visit her, but something happens. And the government basically thinks that it's Eleven killing all these people. They don't believe it's another creature from the Upside Down. So they're on the hunt for her, and enter Paul Reiser, Dr. Owens, who was seen in season two last as the guy essentially helping Will through all this shit, the guy in charge of all the scientists at Hawkins for the Upside Down research. And he basically tries to get her powers back by going back into the program that she escaped from in season one. Ran by fucking Papa. Martin Brenner, played by Matthew Modine. So Eleven has to subject herself back to that same situation. And to me, that is like the crux of this season, right? The fact that you've got Eleven, who has been building a life. She's been growing up. She's been learning about all these life lessons and how to be a regular girl. Growing out her hair. She has to subject herself. She has to put herself back in the position of being in that lab, of being tortured and being experimented on by this person, this toxic father figure, who manipulates her just for her powers. She has to now willingly go back to that, solely so she can help her friends, so she can save the lives of her friends and ultimately, as she's told, the entire world. And that, to me, is the most tragic part of this season. Because, and on the back half of season four of volume one, there's a scene where, you know, once she gets forced back into that situation, she wakes up and her hair's all shaved off again, just like we saw her initially in season one. While I'm 100% sure that it's a sort of a bald, like a wig cap for Millie Bobby Brown, in season one, she did legit shave her head because she was this unknown star at the time. But it's so triggering when you see a character who's worked for three seasons to move away from what she was subjected to. And the realization on her face as Millie Bobby Brown was waking up, as Eleven was waking up, and she realizes where she is, she realizes what she's wearing, and the camera is like super close on her face, and then as it starts panning out, you realize as the audience that, oh my god, they shaved her head. And watching her realize that and seeing the trauma flooding back in her eyes, it fucking devastating. And that's why I say Brown is such a talented actress at such a young age. And this show has been such a great proving grounds for her skill and range. It's insane. And she gets so much to do here. What I loved about how this season works out and where they leave us with the cliffhanger, which is the last 20 minutes of the last episode of season four, volume one. And you realize that Vecna is originally the boy responsible for creating the program that tested on kids with powers, which Eleven was a part of. He was number one. He was the guy who had these powers, who was able to do all these things and kill people and da 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 da. And he's the guy that Papa, Martin Brenner, kidnapped and experimented on. And it's through his basis. He was the first. And through him, they reached out to other kids, found other kids with powers or psychic abilities or whatever, and developed them and experimented on them, of which Eleven was a part. And what happened was he went on a murder spree and killed everyone, and Eleven killed him. And killing him is what caused the rift to the Upside Down to open. Killing him is what made her escape in season one, because he basically decimated the program, killed every single person. And yeah, that's sort of the connection we're made. And it's fucking amazing. And that's where we end this volume on, this realization, this reveal. So I don't really know what to expect from season, like the back half of the volume two now, because I have no idea where things are going to go. I have no idea where we're going to take it. obviously the team's gonna all gang up again. Obviously Eleven's gonna get all her powers back, and she's gonna reteam, and it's gonna be fucking amazing and cheerworthy moments of, you know, rah rah rah, and all that good stuff. So to a certain point, it is a little, you know, formulaic, but I can't wait to get there, because for me, like, a series that goes this long, usually there's always like dips, there's ups and downs. To me personally, this series has stayed pretty strong throughout. Like I mentioned, my only gripe was the fact that we kept going back to the Upside Down for a story. We kept going back to the, oh, we defeat one bad, big bad one season. Oh, there's another one that's connected to that. And it's kind of like, okay, but can we just deal with this once and for all? And I feel like this season we might be doing that. We might be dealing with the origin of all the turmoil from the Upside Down, all these monsters that are carrying over, all these things that Vecna has essentially been the mastermind behind. And I feel like once that threat's over, season 5 allows us to move on from that plot point and plot device of the Upside Down. And we can move on to a different threat, something that's a more real world, something that maybe, you know, again, I don't know, I don't want to spitball here, but I would like to move away from, you know, oh, we dealt with this thing. Oh, nope, another thing from the Upside Down. Oh, we dealt with it. Oh, it's back again. Like, it just got a little repetitive for me. So I like that when we are going back to the Upside Down for season 4, there is a point to it. There is a connection to it. There's an origin story that we're going back to, that we're circling out. We're reconnecting to season 1. And we're essentially providing new context. And we're maybe retconning some stuff as well, you know. But we are sort of closing off the loop, as it were, hopefully, if they do that, if they go where I think they're going to go. But ultimately, I love Stranger Things Season 4, Volume 1. Episodes 1 and 7 are on Netflix right now. I really liked it. I had no problems with the pacing. Like I mentioned, there's some things that I could do without, or rather, I don't know where they're going with. Like I said, Jonathan seems to have been sidelined. They're trying to rekindle the Nancy and Steve romance again. There's definitely a not so subtle subplot where Will is potentially in love with Mike. There's a lot of sort of, you know, unspoken things and implications and sort of hidden sort of remarks from Will in context to Mike and Eleven that definitely make it seem like he is dealing with something like that as well. He does have a secret of his own that he's been trying to share, but is struggling to. You've got Joyce and Hopper. I loved Hopper's storyline in this season with the whole him being trapped in Russia thing. I think David Harbour has always been a little bit of a jerky performance in Stranger Things to me. Like, he's always, which I understand, he's supposed to be the jerky dad, but it's always been a little frustrating, a little irritating that he's sort of the obstacle in Eleven's way. Like, last season it was all about, you know, he was just a jealous dad who couldn't deal with his kid growing up and having a boyfriend, which, sure, fine, but he's always sort of grated on me a little bit. But again, I get that was the point. He was supposed to be the rough around the edges, not fully polished police sheriff dealing with his own shit. I get that. This season, though, to me, maybe because he was isolated from everyone else, but this season for me, he was really good. David Harbour was awesome. I had no problems with his character. The moments he gets where he realizes, you know, his station in life, or, you know, sort of he has a pity party for himself, I thought were really wonderfully done, really impactful. I loved everything about this season, you know, barring some minor inconsistencies here and there. I loved how they did the flashbacks, which weren't really flashbacks, for Eleven, that she was reliving. Because they're memories she forgot, you can't call them flashbacks, because flashbacks implies that the character knows something that we, the audience, don't. So we watch as the character recalls it. However, I love that sort of narrative device they did here, where she doesn't remember her memories, so she has to re-experience and relive them. And us as an audience is watching those scenes for the first time, as Eleven is watching them for the first time, but we're watching the grown-up Eleven experience those memories for the first time. It was really interesting. I love that they did it that way. Maya Hawke is great. Natalia Dyer as Nancy is amazing. Joe Keery, I feel like they don't really know what they're doing with him. He has a lot more to do in the last episode, but part of that, he's just sort of relegated as the himbo, which I think is really funny. I think it really works great. You know, for once to be, you know, the dumb blonde to be a guy who is clearly a good guy at heart, but he's not, you know, the brightest bulb in the box kind of thing. I love his dynamic with Dustin. That's great. That sort of keeps going. They bicker like a married couple, which is amazing. Mike, as always, is, you know, season three, I had some issues with his, you know, lying to Levin and the stupid, typical boyfriend bullshit things. But I do enjoy that this season he is a lot more present and he's trying to help Eleven and he's trying to be there for her, despite his own issues and everything else. A lot to like here. Like I mentioned, Millie Bobby Brown does an amazing job. Sadie Sink kills it, surprisingly, out of nowhere after two seasons, just destroys this performance. So season four, Stranger Things, volume one, episodes 1-7 is on Netflix right now. Go watch it. And go please check out my review on blankpagebeatdown.com, which is completely non-spoiler. If you liked what you heard today, go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast, really. Leave me a 5-star review and rating on Apple Podcasts. It does help other people find the show and helps me sort of stay motivated to keep doing this, you know, over and over again. If you liked my thoughts, or you disliked my thoughts, or you disagree, or you thought, nah, Shah, this shit was way too long for me, reach out to me on my social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at The Shah Shahid. The links will be in the show notes for this episode as well. For everyone else, for sticking through this, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, I'll catch you when Volume 2 releases of Stranger Things Season 4. Thank you once again. Have a great day.